Welcome to the Dignity and Respect in Action podcast. This series is brought to you by the UMass Office of Equity and Inclusion and features members of the university community and other experts in the field of diversity, equity, and inclusion. In these episodes, we'll learn about the work and experiences of our guests and gain insight from their expertise. Your host for this podcast is Dr. Nefertiti Walker, Interim Vice Chancellor of Equity and Inclusion and Professor of Sport Management in the Eisenberg School of Management. And now, here's Nef.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for DARIA, the Dignity and Respect in Action podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nef Walker. Today is the second episode in our special series of podcasts for Black History Month that will celebrate the Black experience at UMass. Last week, we spoke to Executive Director and Lecturer of the Berthoum Center for Entrepreneurship, Dr. Gregory Thomas. Today, I am excited to welcome our guest, UMass alumnus from the class of 2012 and creator of the Blacked Out game, Dominique Price. You may have seen Dominique playing football for UMass during his time as a student on the TV show Temptation Island, or you may have read about the cool new board game he created to make Black history and culture accessible and fun. Dominique, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So I always like to start with just getting an understanding of who you are as a person. So if you could give us a short introduction, tell us a little bit about yourself and your connection to UMass.
Of course. My name is Dominique Price. I'm born and raised in Worcester, Massachusetts. Like everyone in Worcester, I was a homebody. So I went to Assumption for 2 years and I felt like that was too close. And then I ended up transferring to UMass where I was still being able to be close to my family. But then all my friends are already at UMass. So that's what led me to go to UMass. I played football there. And then, yeah, amazing. The zoo is probably the best place. Some of my best friends, even to this day, are where we still keep in touch after, 10, 12 years. So it's just a great place to be. And I met so many connections, probably the best time of my life. And yeah, I would definitely would want to go back if I could right now.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. And for our viewer or our listeners who can't see Dominique, he is definitely wearing UMass football gear. So representing hard.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your journey since leaving UMass. I mean, certainly in the introduction, I mentioned some of the things that you've been doing, like creating a whole board game, yeah. Temptation Island, for instance. I know you have lived in LA. Can you tell us a little bit about the journey of leaving UMass and what's happened since then?
Yeah, for sure. When I was at UMass, I was studying business economics. So I graduated from Eisenberg. I got in somehow. And then I just realized the 9-to-5 life wasn't for me. And an opportunity where my cousin, who I never even met before, was like, would you like to come visit me in LA? And I honestly just took it. Like, I stayed home for like 5 months. And I'm like, after graduating, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then I just left. And I've been in LA since then. So the past 9 years, I was out in LA. I was doing the personal training. I was doing the modeling, the acting. And then, Shark Tank is my show. So I always was creating ideas and doing things. And the pandemic hit, and then that what forced me to come back to Worcester. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have to ask the question because I am currently watching The Bachelor. So the Temptation Island, tell us about how that happened. Like, how did you get the call? How was that experience?
So I was auditioning to be on The Bachelorette, and then I don't know if you guys know, there's a big, huge process. So once you make it as, I think maybe top 100, top 200, blah, 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 you go to the hotel, you do the psychology test, you do the drug test, you do all the tests.
Yeah.
And then I made it that far, but they didn't pick me to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months later, I get a call from another casting director who was like, we have a perfect show for you. And it happened to be Temptation Island. Mm-hmm. And I had a buddy that was on last season because I didn't want to do that show. I had a buddy that was on last season. He was like, yo, you should do it. At the time, I had another idea that I created. He was like, it's a good way to get your idea out there and just to be seen. And then I ended up getting on the show. reality TV is a different world. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
I like to be out of the scene, so it was kind of tough for me.
Yeah.
Having 10 cameras in front of you all day for a whole month. So I was still myself, and I was like the good dude that I was, but
yeah,
it's kind of hard. It's not for everyone.
Yeah, you can't fade away in the background on reality TV.
You have to act out. You have to.
Yeah.
People want to see recklessness. They want to see a mess. They don't want to see a good person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. It's like I said, I've never watched a single episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette until actually last The Bachelorette with Tayshia was the first that I watched. Was that the one that you were supposed to be on? Or well, I guess it's.
Yeah. No. Rachel.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was that year. So that was like maybe four years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, recently getting into it a little bit. And to be completely honest, I was pulled into it because of the news of the first Black Bachelor. Right. Yep. So that's the reason why I was like, okay, well, I haven't been interested in this show because I haven't been able to see myself or my culture in it. And the premise of the show alone wasn't interesting enough for me. But once they got the first Black Bachelor, I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it a try. So I can certainly see, you know, what you speak of, the fact that people want to see the recklessness of it, right? They want to see the drama.
For sure. He's lucky though. I wish I was in his shoes. He didn't even have to be on The Bachelorette. He just got picked to be on The Bachelor. I'm like, damn, he lucked out because he didn't have to do all the ratchet or reckless stuff
before. Yeah.
And now he just comes on, could be a good guy regardless of if he's a good guy or not. So I was like, he made out for sure.
Yeah, he didn't have to go through the gauntlet.
Exactly.
So that's interesting. And I think that's a really cool perspective that you bring, sort of your time in LA and the modeling and the acting and being on a show like Temptation Island that's so well known. You mentioned that you were always creating. What were some of the things that you were creating and working on while also pursuing the Hollywood career?
Yeah, so when I was a couple, maybe five, no, like, still there, damn, time is flying. Probably like 7-8 years ago when I was like in my training, when I was training like celebrities and like all the models and stuff, I came up with a women's fitness line. It was a great idea. It just, obviously I'm a man. I don't wear women's clothes. So it was before, because everyone has a fitness line now. So it was it was before its time. It just wasn't thing. And so that didn't take off as well. Mm-hmm. And then I came up with a cell phone invention called Sleeved, where it was like a pop socket and like a wallet into one. Great idea, but time changed. The phone gets adjusted.
Yeah.
So that got messed up. And then, so failing twice helped me to create this game. That's why I'm not really afraid of failing, because I've done it before and it only helps.
No, that's a fantastic point. I teach in Eisenberg, and often I tell students about all the failures I've had, right? Yeah. I started a real estate company in Atlanta right before the big recession in 2007, 2008, that failed, right? But I think to your point, those failures along the way lead you to a place to where you're creating a game.
Exactly.
Which is amazing.
And then 10 out of 10 times, I'm going to keep betting on myself. So eventually it's going to hit. And I think right now with this game, I definitely have a winner. So I'm just very fortunate that I was able to. Some people like are afraid to lose and fail. And I'm just like, whatever, like, I'll take that loss. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Take that lesson. Right.
Exactly.
So I want to move and transition into the game a little bit. First of all, I bought the game. So before we start,
I sold out. So I get a new shipment in by the end of this week. So I'll ship it out.
Okay. No worries at all. But I was like, okay, we're going to have this conversation on a podcast. I need to go check this game out. And it looks amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
The categories are awesome. The whole concept of the game is awesome. And the idea that you're actually learning about Black culture, Black experience, right? And and Black history is just amazing. So take us through a couple of things. How did you come up with the idea for this game? And where were you in life? What was happening when you were thinking about creating this game? And the game, by the way, is named Blacked Out Game.
Yep. So it was created during the summer of like the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, around that area. I was living in California at the time. And then I was like, my mentals were off back there because everything was closed. Couldn't go to the beach. Couldn't do nothing. I was just stuck in my house. So I was like, all right, I need to just be with my family. Mm-hmm. So I actually flew home and I was there for like 2 or 3 weeks. And I was just like helping my mom. Everyone was building houses and fixing the house and all that stuff. So I was helping my mom build a fence in the backyard. And then obviously I would, I think it was a Friday night. We were just at my aunt's house and we were playing card games. And I had my little cousins with me and my aunts, my mom, my grandmother. And we were playing like Uno and like just basic, like regular games. And then it was around June 19th area.
Yeah.
And I feel like obviously like people knew about June 19th, but people didn't know. Like I feel like this year, for some reason, everyone like realized, oh, this should be our holiday. This should be a holiday. And I was just like, man, like something simple as this and people don't know about Black history is like, I think I need to create a game or something about it. And then that idea just came to me and I text my boy. I was like, yo, I have another idea. And I was super happy. And he was like, what is it? And then I was like, yo, it's a card game, but about Black history. And then I came up with the idea of the game being called Blacked Out History. Mm. And then, so I was writing notes down, writing cards down. And then I went home to California and I was with a couple friends. We were playing another card game that was like a fun card game that had categories like this. Like I forgot which, with the hands and all that type of stuff. And then I was like, man, this is a fun game, but the categories kind of suck.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to turn my game into like, I need to make a game just like this, but with Black culture, Black history. Mm-hmm. And that's where like the idea just came to my head. And I just started writing these ideas down and I made the cards myself and I started playing with my family and friends and then they all loved it. It was like, you need to make this game.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. So certainly summer 2020 where, you know, there was for some people, we've been living this racial reckoning for our lives, right? But for some people, there was this moment of awakening and seeing the anti-Black violence play out over and over and over all over the news. And you took that energy and you turned it into something creative and positive and entrepreneur. That's amazing. That's amazing in and of itself. And you mentioned Juneteenth, right? And the impact that had on this. And I just want to share for our in Texas in 1865 to take control of the state and ensure that all enslaved people be freed. And since then, Black folks in this country have been having celebrations to commemorate that moment, both small and large. And it's certainly a lot of traction and energy around making this a national holiday. Was there anything that you learned during the process of creating Blacked Out Game that was just interesting, fascinating? Anything that stuck with you throughout the process?
Yeah, there's a lot. It was just a bunch of like random history facts. I'll say probably the coolest one was the Titanic, that there was a Haitian, a Black Haitian on there. He was the engineer.
Wow. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, so that was a pretty cool one. I made that one into like a true or false question. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just a bunch of random stuff that was just like we were never taught. And I was like, all right, let's turn this into a game. And just one way to learn. Because people don't actually want to read a book nowadays. So just like, yeah.
It's like you're sneaking the history into the process. Exactly.
And the history is for all of us. So no matter what color you are, you learn a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So how has your family and friends responded to the game?
It was obviously it was great because they're the ones who really helped me come up with this game and this idea. And they are the ones who pushed me to create this game. It literally just started. I had the idea playing the Uno game with them and like Goldfish and all that, those type of games. And then I just sat down with them and I was just like, I have a fun idea. and I just wrote the game on some white cards, and I played it with them. And then my grandmother, my little cousins, my aunts, my mom, my brother, we all played it together, had a great time. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who told me to make it happen.
That's amazing. So I wanted this question. I'm interested in the very first like prototype of the game. Did you make the very first prototype yourself? Was it just like, you know, laying out the cards? Like, how did you come up with the different categories? Because again, I haven't played the game yet, but now that I actually have it, I've looked through the cards, which is amazing. I love the different categories, but how did you come up with that?
Honestly, the game came up to me. I was with my family at the time. They were all in Massachusetts, but I was staying in LA at the time. And then my friends had like a game night, and we didn't play it, but there was a card game called For the Girls, I believe it's called. And then it had these different categories, but it wasn't relatable to me. So I was like, all right, what if I could somehow switch it up and then add some blackness to it? And then that's where it just came from. It was just like slang. I don't even know. It was just, I was like, oh, like this idea is kind of dope. Oh, guess a song. That's kind of dope. And then they had Rapid Fire. That's the only one. And then Truth or Dare, they had it too. And I was like, no, everyone has the Truth or Dare game.
Yeah.
Let me add Truth or Dance.
I remember the dance one.
Yeah. So I was like, let me add Truth or Dance to it. And then I wanted to like, for it to be crazy, so I was like, all right, I'm gonna do an ad, make a rule one, so whoever plays it, they can play however they want to play it. That's totally up to them, and that's literally how it came across.
The making the rule is interesting because I feel like as a culture, Black folks, you know, playing games as kids, we always change the rules a little bit. Mm-hmm. So Monopoly was like, okay, this is the rules, but we have house rules to Monopoly, right? So something about it was changed. The banker gets an extra $200, like. And we did that with every single game. Uno, Spades. I think Spades might be the only game that you do not change. Yeah. You know, Black people do not change Spades. The rules are the rules. But I feel like, you know, I enjoy that piece of it because it's so deeply entrenched in Black culture.
Exactly. It's just like, depending on who you're playing with, have fun with it. Make your own rules. That's what you guys can come together and create something special. And that's that's what I wanted to do with the game.
So how do you see the game evolving over time?
So as of right now, I am in the process of I'm even changing the name and creating a whole new game where it's going to be all of us put together as in all cultures put together as one game and just go from there. We live in a beautiful world, beautiful people, no matter what skin color you are. So I want us all to come together and learn each other's culture.
Okay, so this game that you're talking about, the evolution, the part two sort of to the first game you created, Blacked Out game, is multiple cultures, multiple identities, races, similar concept?
Same concept. Okay. It's going to be the same concept. It's just, instead of just all Black history, there'll be some white history, some Latina history, some Asian history, whatever it may be. For the most part, the slang's gonna stay the same. Obviously, I'm gonna throw some music in from all genres and all type of deal. And it's just gonna be a fun game. And I'm gonna make the rules this time. So there's gonna be some crazy ones, and then there's gonna be some loving ones. So it's gonna be a great time for people to come together when this pandemic is over and just get together and just have fun.
Yeah. I love that idea because I feel like, one, I could see that game being so useful on college campuses, right? I mean, you think about you go into your residential area as a first-year student, and for the first time, maybe, you know, you're around all these different types of people from all over the world. So to be able to sit down and play a game where you're learning about each other's cultures, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, so I'm really excited for this one. I definitely see it becoming like a huge deal, especially in the colleges and school environments, and just a great girls' night, guys' night, just a great game night, family night, whatever it may be.
Yeah, well, good. Whenever that one comes out, you have to let us know here at UMass so we can get it into the residential spaces for sure. Yeah.
So for sure, with this one, I'm taking my time, and I'm this Black Belt game, it was all me. I rushed it. Like even with the black and brown cards, like you can't really see too well. So now I'm working with a graphic designer, and it's just like she gave me a timetable. She's like, no, we're gonna keep going back and forth until we make this game perfect. So I'm hoping the game gets here by like October, November.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for that. You mentioned the importance of Black folks learning about our own history. Can you talk a little bit about your experiences as a student and a Black man here at UMass? Just in general, and also what do you miss about learning? So the whole process of being on campus, being a Black man on campus, learning about different people, different cultures. Share a little bit of that with us from your experiences and your time at UMass.
So obviously with my more experiences, I was on the football team, so the whole team was Black, and then I was friends with all the Black basketball players. Like, obviously all the sports people, we stuck together. So that was a great time because you were meeting people from Florida, meeting people from California. So it was just that, like, not all Black people are the same. So just like people like could say we all look alike, whatever it may be, but we don't look alike. We're not all the same. So to be around those other different types of Black people from all over was definitely an experience and a good time. And then, like, you get to learn. You get a chance to learn about their culture as well. They get to learn about your culture. And, like, I just miss, like, the student union parties and just going. Yeah. And just, like, I went to all-white high school, so I didn't really get to be around Black folks like that. So now even UMass is very white, but just being on the football team and just being around all the athletes, like, I was around Black people all the time. So that was a great experience that I didn't really get.
And I think something that you mentioned and what we see in your game is that you highlight the diversity within the Black culture and within the Black community, right? The idea that, you know, Black folks that are from Florida, from California, or, you know, from the South, Texas, New England, all have similar cultures and the shared experience of being Black in America, but also have very different, unique aspects of their cultures based on where they're from and, you know, their ethnicities as well, maybe being Afro-Caribbean and African-American, for instance. So I think not only do you highlight that in your experiences as a student on campus, but also I think you've highlighted that in the game, which is really nice to see.
Yep.
So what do you wish educators would do to make Black history more accessible?
I would just wish educators would do their own research. I have friends who are teachers who really take Black history serious and teach young kids like what actually happened in the actual history of things, rather than just getting the book that was given to them by the educators that Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman.
Like the same names.
And it's just like, there's more to Black history than that. Like I just posted Dr. Gary Morgan.
Creator of the stoplight.
Yeah. And it's just like, a Black person created a cell phone. That's something no one could live without. So it's just like, this world was created by us. Black history is American history. And the whole world runs through us. So it's just like, no, it needs to be more than just a month.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. And I think, I've been in Western Massachusetts and in New England now for just under a decade. And I had a very different experience growing up. I grew up on the south side of Atlanta, where I would say from elementary school to middle school and for the public high school that I went to was probably easily 85 to 90% Black African-American. So for me, you know, we were, because of the people, because of the culture there, because Atlanta is a city rich with African-American Black culture and heroes like Dr. King, we grew up just constantly being immersed in Black history and Black leaders, thought leaders, scientists, politicians, and on and on and on. So I think, you know, oftentimes I'm learning quite a bit about the rest of the country and understanding that my experiences are very different from the rest of the country. Growing up in a city that's majority Black, that's had lots of Black politicians, I just had a very different experience as a kid. So it's always helpful for me to hear stories from folks like you and others across the country or in places like New England where, you know, that isn't the same experience. There aren't majority Black major cities in New England or in the Northeast. So I appreciate that.
Of course, yeah. So I grew up in the all white school. So it was all, I heard was slavery and I just got to put my head down. It's like, oh, cause I'm like the only Black kid in the class. And it's just
yeah.
Like, all they point out is slavery. Every movie we watch, slavery. So it was just like, and even when I got to LA and was doing the modeling and the acting, it was just like, it was so stereotypical of the Black roles. It's like mm-hmm. insane how they point this out to be. And I was like, no, let me create a game that celebrates us and have fun with it.
Yeah, no, and that's a good point, right? It's the narrative and who's creating the narrative and how that narrative perpetuates stereotypes, right? And I love your game because what your game does is it highlights Black culture, all parts of Black culture. It's not playing to stereotypes. It's not biased in its approach. It is highlighting the Black experience and Black culture here in the US and beyond. So I can appreciate that. So Dominique, thank you so much for coming to our podcast and sharing your story with us today. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. We're so proud of our UMass students and alumni and all that they are doing to make the world an equitable place. You can learn more about the Blacked Out Game by visiting www.blackedoutgame.com. Please continue to tune in this month as we have several exciting podcasts in the works. We are very excited for the opportunity to talk with Dr. Jamila Liscott and Dr. Keisha Green about the UMass Center for Racial Justice in our next episode, and to Professor John Bracey, Dr. Whitney Battle-Baptiste, and Erica Slocum about the Black Presence Initiative here at UMass to wrap up this special Black History Month series on the Black experience at UMass. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Thank you.